Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
It's Thursday, and thanks for being with us here on Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm delighted that you've chosen to spend some time with us, and I'm particularly delighted because Derek Prince is teaching one of the most powerful series on prayer I think I've ever heard. It's biblical, it's balanced, it's holistic, it's not just about what happens in the prayer closet, it's what's happening, it's also about what's happening in your country and in the halls of government, and he really is getting the whole counsel of God. And today he's going to be focusing on the prayers and the intercessions of some of the great men of the Old Testament. We'll be looking a bit at Moses. We'll be looking a bit at Daniel. These are not just inspiring stories put in the Bible. They're models of prayer for the land, for nations, for a people, for the deliverance of the people of God. It's powerful and transforming stuff. Now, if you've missed any of this, really more than a week and a half of teaching, log on to the website at derekprince.org and you can listen to it as often as you like. Well, let's get to it now as Derek Prince teaches us on the ministry of intercession.
Today, our lesson on the power of intercession will be taken from the life of Moses. We'll begin with an incident where Moses had been up at the top of Mount Sinai, communing with God, receiving from God the revelation of God's purpose and God's plan for the future of Israel. At a certain point in this communion between the Lord and Moses, the Lord changed the direction of the conversation, and he told Moses that while Moses had been up at the top of the mountain, the Israelites down at the foot of the mountain had turned aside from the way that God had set before them and had gone into idolatry and had actually made a golden calf and were worshipping it at that very moment while Moses was up there with the Lord at the top of the mountain. The Lord's attitude was, "Moses, let me alone, I'll destroy this people and I'll make a greater nation out of you." We'll read now the words that describe the incident. Beginning in Exodus chapter 32, verse 7, "The Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go down at once, for your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves.'" Let me point out something that's almost comical in the midst of this intensely serious situation. Neither the Lord nor Moses would accept responsibility at this point for Israel. Each of them was so disgusted with Israel. The Lord said to Moses, "Your people, whom you brought up." A little later on, we'll see that Moses said to the Lord, "Thy people, whom thou broughtest up." So, as it were, Israel was in such a state of degradation that neither the Lord himself nor Moses wanted to be identified with them. All right, I'll go on reading now. God goes on saying to Moses, "They have turned aside quickly from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I've seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation.'" Note those words, "let me alone." I'll come back to them in a little while. Now we have Moses' response. "Then Moses entreated the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why doth thine anger burn against thy people, whom thou hast brought up from the land of Egypt?'" Notice Moses said, "Lord, they're not my people, they're thy people, whom thou hast brought up from the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth'? Turn from thy burning anger and change thy mind about doing harm to thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou didst swear by thyself, and didst say to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land of which I have spoken I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people." Let's pick out now the main salient features of this tremendous incident, this outstanding example of the power of intercession. I've already pointed out that neither God nor Moses at that moment wanted to be identified with Israel. God said to Moses, "Your people whom you brought out." Moses said to God, "Thy people whom thou hast brought out." And then I also noted that in verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, "Let me alone, that my anger may burn against them." Have you considered that? That God, in a way, said, Moses, if you'll step aside, I'll act. But if you remain there before me, I can't act. You see, that's the whole faith of the intercessor, that the intercessor's presence between God and the object of his wrath restrains God's wrath. Just imagine Almighty God saying, let me alone. But you see, the marvelous thing about Moses was that he wouldn't let God alone. He stayed there. He held on. Then look at the motivation of Moses. God gave him the most tremendous promise. He said, I'll blot these people out and I'll make of you a great nation. How many people would have been delighted with the prospect of becoming the unique head and founder of that great nation? But Moses was not concerned for his own glory. He was greatly concerned for God's glory. And when he spoke back to the Lord, the first thing he said was, if you do that, then the Egyptians will say you never meant to do your people good. You brought them out only to do them harm. Think what will happen to your reputation in the earth. So you see, Moses was not concerned for his own glory, but he was greatly concerned for God's glory. And then notice the basis of Moses' appeal to God. He appealed to two things, God's word and God's oath. Remember, he said, thy servants, to whom thou didst swear by thyself and didst say to them, I will multiply your descendants. That's really the basis on which the intercessor comes to God. God's word, God's oath, God's commitment. He says, God, you're a covenant-keeping God. I trust you to keep that covenant you've made. I believe you won't break it. I'm standing here because I believe that. And then notice, as I've said already in regard to Abraham, God responds to the prayers of his servants. The translation that I read says, the Lord changed his mind. That somehow staggers my own mind, that a man by his prayer can cause God to change his mind. And yet the scripture indicates that it's so. God wants us to influence him. He wants to be changed by us in the direction of his highest will, but he waits for us to do it. By that act of intercession, one man, Moses, saved a whole nation. That's the power and the possibility of intercession.
You know, I love the story of Moses in prayer, because Moses is almost irritated with God that he's got to put up with these people that God gave him. I love what Derek was noting. When Moses prays, he said, Lord, they're your people. You brought them out. You got to deal with them. You know, not always do we have to be deeply just gushy loving about what we're praying about. Sometimes we can be irritated. We can be praying for a president we don't really care for, praying for a nation we're not really thrilled with. But it's God's will that must be done, not ours. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Government leaders and policies can greatly affect God's people and their ability to carry out the Great Commission. But what can one believer do? Can a single saint change the course of history? Derek Prince says, yes. Few Bible teachers in modern times have had a deeper understanding of how prayer and fasting work together to change circumstances than did Derek Prince. That is why one of Derek's most consistently influential books is Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. As you read through its pages, you'll discover the little-taught secrets of moving mountains that have inspired and influenced countless other Bible teachers and intercessors. With it, you can become a history shaper. Call toll-free 800-448-3261 to order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting for only $12.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince had a deep and biblical understanding of the power of prayer. He saw firsthand how God will partner with willing believers. Discover how the same keys that move princes and presidents will also bring God's perfect will into your life. Order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for being with us. It's a great Thursday in this nearly 2-week-long series on prayer that Derek Prince has been giving us. And I want you to really listen to what's coming up, because one of the great words in the Bible for prayer is wrestling, wrestling with God. And Daniel's going to show us how to do it. Let's listen.
I'm going to turn to another great servant of God, Daniel. The incident that I'm going to speak about is found in the 9th chapter of Daniel. But first, I want to look at something that took place in the 6th chapter of Daniel. I want you to see the background of Daniel's habit of prayer. Some things don't just come automatically at a moment's notice. There are things in our lives that have to be carefully cultivated by the right habits. And Daniel was a man who had cultivated the habit of prayer. At this particular point in his career, he was, as it were, the prime minister of the Persian Empire, but the men under him were jealous of him, and they tried to get him put out of his position. They couldn't find anything to criticize the way he handled his job, so eventually they knew the only way they could get at him was on the basis of his religion. So they persuaded the emperor of Persia to pass a law that for 30 days no one was to pray in that empire except to the emperor. Now, of course, for Daniel, as an Orthodox conforming Jew, that was an impossible situation. Daniel always prayed 3 times every day with his window open toward Jerusalem. And when this new law was passed that made it death to do so, he still went on doing the same. This is what we read in Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. I want to pick out some features which I think are significant. First of all, 3 times a day, every day, speaks of persistence. And then that window opened toward Jerusalem speaks of focused prayer. Daniel is an example of persistent, focused prayer. How important it is that we're persistent and also that we focus our prayers on specific objectives which are in line with the will of God. Then I want you to see how important prayer was to Daniel. Prayer was so important to him that he would not give it up, even if it meant going to the lion's den. And the other thing I want you to see is that Daniel's prayers were so effective, Satan feared Daniel's prayers so much, that he worked to change the laws of the Persian Empire just in order to stop Daniel praying. And I'd like that you and I would ask ourselves, do our prayers frighten the devil that much that he wants to change the laws? Maybe they do. Now I want to go on to Daniel chapter 9, the particular incident that I want to look at in a little more detail. It says there in the first 3 verses, and Daniel is speaking, "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes." One thing we need to see there is that our great source of understanding and direction is the scriptures. Daniel was not only a man of regular prayer, but clearly he was a man who regularly read the scriptures. And it's important that always our original and primary source of inspiration and direction and understanding of the will of God should come from the scriptures. Secondly, I want you to see how Daniel responded to the revelation that he found in the scripture. He found there that the desolation of the city of Jerusalem was to last 70 years. As he had a position of influence and authority in the Persian Empire, he had access to the records of the empire, and he knew that the 70 years had almost run their course. In other words, it was time for God to restore the Jewish people to Jerusalem and to build up the city of Jerusalem again. Now, some people, when they get a revelation from the scripture, it goes to their heads. They become opinionated and they become super spiritual, and they tell everybody how much they've found in the scripture, and they kind of explain God's plans and God's purposes. I don't believe that revelation is given to make us feel super spiritual. I find that Daniel responded to this revelation by appropriate action. He didn't simply say, "Isn't that interesting? God is soon going to restore Jerusalem." He saw that it placed a personal responsibility upon him, that if it was God's purpose to restore Jerusalem, then it was his duty to move in and associate himself with the purpose of God and commit himself in prayer and in fasting to what God intended to do. We read that Daniel found in the scriptures that the desolation of Jerusalem was to last 70 years. It's important to ask ourselves, where did Daniel find this in the scriptures? One scripture where this is clearly stated is Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 13, and the prophecy of Jeremiah undoubtedly was available to Daniel at that time. We'll read these verses in Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 13. This is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you, that's the Jewish people, and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place, that is, Jerusalem. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So Daniel knew that his responsibility was not merely to have an interesting revelation that the time had come to restore Jerusalem, but that his responsibility was to fulfill the part of God's people to pray. And God said, you're going to have to pray in a special way. You're really going to have to pray. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, when you give yourself unreservedly to seeking me and to prayer, then I will respond and do what I've committed myself to do.
You know, one of the great truths that we learn from Daniel is that he knew the season of God. He knew what God wanted to do. He tells us in this great story from the book of Daniel that as he was reading the book of Jeremiah, as he was reading the prophecy of Jeremiah, he knew the timing of the Lord. He knew that it was time for God's people to be delivered, and he knew they weren't ready. When we pray, we need to get before the Lord and find out what he's desiring to do, and then pray that it's released in the earth. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Government leaders and policies can greatly affect God's people and their ability to carry out the Great Commission. But what can one believer do? Can a single saint change the course of history? Derek Prince says, yes. Few Bible teachers in modern times have had a deeper understanding of how prayer and fasting work together to change circumstances than did Derek Prince. That is why one of Derek's most consistently influential books is Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. As you read through its pages, you'll discover the little-taught secrets of moving mountains that have inspired and influenced countless other Bible teachers and intercessors. With it, you can become a history shaper. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. To order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting for only $12.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince had a deep and biblical understanding of the power of prayer. He saw firsthand how God will partner with willing believers. Discover how the same keys that move princes and presidents will also bring God's perfect will into your life. Order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, thrilled that you're here, and thrilled especially from what we're learning about prayer and intercession. I'm really glad you're listening right at this very moment. I want to urge you to just lay aside whatever else you're doing, because Derek is about to teach us about how to stand before God for a people, confess the sins of those people, and see God's grace poured out. Let's listen.
Now, Daniel doubtless read those words, "When you seek me with all your heart." How did he respond? Well, he says himself, "I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and in petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes." Now, sackcloth and ashes were the recognized marks of mourning in that time. So Daniel, in a sense, became a mourner. He mourned the desolation of Jerusalem. There is a kind of godly mourning which is very close to the heart of God. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Isaiah 61:3 says, "God has news for those who mourn in Zion. He will give them the oil of joy for mourning, beauty for ashes, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." That's not self-centered grief, but that's mourning over God's people and the situation of God's city. It's mourning in Zion. And Daniel was that kind of a mourner, and it meant much to God. Now I want to show you the kind of prayer that Daniel prayed out of this situation of mourning and fasting and seeking God with all his heart. It's a very important pattern for us. He says in Daniel 9:4 and following, "I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. I want you to notice how the word we occurs again and again in that short passage of prayer. Daniel was one of the most righteous men whose lives are recorded in Scripture. In fact, there's no actual sin recorded in the life of Daniel. He could have easily taken a self-righteous attitude concerning his fellow Israelites and said, "These are the wicked people. These are the people who deserve your judgment." But he didn't. He identified himself with God's people. He took his place with them and said, "We have sinned. We have failed. Judgment belongs to us." Contrast the Pharisee who went up into the temple to pray. You remember what he prayed? "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are." Which kind of prayer reaches the heart of God? Not the prayer of the Pharisee, but the prayer of the man who, with fasting and mourning, casts himself without reservation upon the mercy of God, identifying himself with the needs of God's people.
You know, I love what Derek is teaching us, and I really want to focus for a few moments with you on Daniel 9. Many of the great revivals that we see modeled in Scripture and many of the great revivals of church history come when a people are confessing their sins before God. But you know what? We don't have to wait until the whole nation rises up and has a revelation that they're in sin. The Bible tells us that one person who is before God can confess the sins of his people. Some have called this identificational repentance. I stand up as an American and I go before the Lord and I confess the sins of our people. I confess the sins of my land. I confess the sins of a body of people I'm part of. And the Lord hears it and begins to give grace. This is what Daniel did. He said, "We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame." Now, you know, that wasn't necessarily true of Daniel personally. Daniel wasn't a wicked man. Daniel wasn't a man who ignored the prophets. For heaven's sakes, he was a prophet. He wasn't a man who was covered in shame. But he stepped into a place of identifying with his people, and then he took those sins, those wrongs, those areas of disobedience to God before the Lord. You know, I want to teach you a principle that I hope will encourage you. As a historian, I can tell you that history is not controlled by the majority. It's not controlled by mass movements. In fact, mass movements rarely produce much of anything. What history is really ruled by the dedicated minority. It's the dedicated minority at Oxford in the early 1700s that leads England in revival. It's a dedicated minority of praying people that time and again has changed history. And so if you're willing to accept a call to prayer, if you're willing to receive that spirit of grace and supplication that the prophets described in the Old Testament, you know, we can stand before God for the nation. We don't have to wait until the president does it or millions of people suddenly understand that they're sinners. We can do it as the people of God, and it will bring change. In fact, in this just this last minute or so that we have, I'd like to lead us in a prayer of identificational repentance just for the nation that we're sitting in right now, the United States of America. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And as I voice this prayer as an American, I want to identify with the sins of the people. Lord, we are far away from you. We are hardened. We are cynical. We are materialistic. We are given to our pleasures, and it has made us a people without our hearts turned to God, a people with a disregard for the poor and the needy, an arrogant people and a violent people. Lord God, have mercy. There's shame on us. And I have not even mentioned, Lord God, the slaughter of the innocents through abortion and the ignoring of your ways in so many areas of our government and cultural life. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Forgive us. Extend your mercy and wipe away our sins, pouring out your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that's just a small model of a prayer that I hope you'll be praying time and time again. We're going to continue talking about this tomorrow, but that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Do join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's classic book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, available for only $12.95. Call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover how you can become a history shaper. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.